Turin Bay. I am the Director of Logistics and the System Administrator.
I'm Bashir. I'm the Director of Diplomacy.
Neville Smith here, currently Director of Education, but I'll be leaving shortly.
David Mitsuda, Reimbursement Manager.
And this is Croy, main herder of cats and admiral of the ILN.
Titus Talong, Teaching Manager.
Valeris Rim, Events Manager.
Hi, I'm Crick. I'm the Assistant Student Guidance Manager.
All right, that looks like everybody who seems to be willing to speak. If you have never been to one of these Q&As before, let me just give you a brief overview of how it works. All of the questions should be asked in the in-game chat channel, class.euni. We will be putting a line into chat. Anything after that line that starts with a Q will be a question that we will take in the order that they are received. I'll put an example question up, and that is the format for the questions. We will begin as soon as I start seeing some questions appear.
This might be the shortest Q&A ever.
The first question, what is the ratio of total student body income to value of losses to war targets between March and now? We don't have a way to tell for sure. We can only monitor very small aspects of student income, which is anything that generates a corporate tax. Some of the things that would do that is using our PI, or using our POCOs for PI, or doing anything that generates an in-game bounty, such as missions or incursions. When last I ran the numbers, just that source of income alone was significantly high, as in orders of magnitude higher than the losses to war targets. When you factor in things such as invention, production, station trading, or just looting PvP kills, other ways that people make ISK, I would imagine that even greatly inflates the number. In the grand scheme of things, it does not look like they are having a significant effect on the income potential of the university as an entire group of students. Obviously, you know, for one individual student who gets a big loss, that's going to hurt them. In fact, even when you look at the, whatever it is, 80 or 90 billion that we've lost up till this point and divide it by the number of members we've had, it is a very low amount of loss per student. Unfortunately, it is just the cost of doing business in EVE. Pretty much every large alliance or corporation is under war decks from station people pretty much constantly. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add on that? Guessing not. Next up, the question is, does Uni have or will it ever have an Ore Ice buyback program? Does somebody want to take this one?
I could take that one. We don't currently have one because we really don't have much use for one. The only time in the recent past that, actually, the only time in the, even the distant past that we've actually needed to buy a large amount of minerals, it was just a couple of months ago, in fact, and it only lasted for a few weeks. If we ever do need a large amount of minerals or ice materials or something, then we'll probably implement it again, but it's so rare and brief that they're only being implemented on a temporary and as-needed basis. So keep an eye out for them, but yeah, we're not going to have a constant program of any sort like that.
We had another question. Is there any planned expansion of industry or planned workforce center for any of the new features?
I can take that as well. Currently, we have no plans, but we are definitely looking into it. We essentially want to wait for Cryos and take a look at the numbers once it rolls out and maybe has been going on for, you know, a couple of weeks at least. Because we really can't, it's very difficult right now to estimate exactly how much it would cost for us to, you know, try to at least corner, say, for example, the Aldrat workforce market. So we'll see what kind of numbers we're looking at once it's released, and then I'll bring up amongst the rest of the directors and the management some ideas on whether we might want to, you know, invest a little bit of our own ISK to try to allocate, you know, some of that workforce so that the students have some kind of advantage, at least, you know, if not only in Aldrat, maybe in surrounding systems, but probably not in that kind of scope, maybe at least Aldrat. But again, yeah, we'll take a look at it once Cryos is released.
All right. The next question, if there isn't already in place, is there a plan to implement a faction warfare program or subsidiary company of the uni to teach students about faction warfare? This is something that's been brought up quite frequently. We have not found a workable approach to this. Because of the mechanics, it would have to be a completely separate corporation outside of our alliance. The problem with that is, being part of faction warfare, they would have drastically different diplomatic relations with all of the entities than the uni as a whole has with a lot of these places. That could potentially lead to things where there are misunderstandings, where people believe that since it is a uni corporation, quote unquote, that they would have to follow uni, you know, blue standings and all of that, and it leads to the potential for diplomatic headaches. As such, we've avoided it up until this point in time. There aren't any plans to approach it in the future until we can find some way to mitigate all of that. The next one, the question is, does the uni have a jump freighter service aside from the NSC one? No, we do not have an official jump freighter service in place for anywhere. Any jump freighter services are run are completely student-led and student-done. As somebody mentioned, yes, it is tricky because jump freighters are very, very expensive. So, you know, when somebody buys one on their own, obviously they trust themselves with it. When the university buys it, who do you trust with, you know, a multi-billion ISK ship that can easily get blown up if they make mistakes moving it? Looks like we have a question specifically for Nev. Somebody asks, do you have any more information on where you are headed?
Yes. I just posted a link in the chat channel, a latest post to my blog that describes my current plans. I really regret leaving the uni. This has always been my home in EVE Online, and don't really want to leave, but candidly, real life is interfering to the not going to be able to log on very frequently, at least for the next 8 months. So I'm going to be doing some solo activities that don't require a lot of specific times to be on, et cetera, and it's described in more detail in that blog post. For what it's worth, I want to say thanks to everybody for all their support and also to the management team and to Az, especially for the opportunity to serve. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll see you again in 8 months.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I think maybe we should start a betting pool. You know, everybody gets to pick a week.
Didn't we do that when we got the new media manager? That worked out. He's still around.
That's a lot better than the old mining manager position used to be.
Oh boy, we had that once. The poor guy.
Yes, we did. It was more or less, it was a running joke for several years that we could not ever manage to schedule mining class, because whenever they'd schedule it, even if we'd been at peace for months, we'd have a war hit before it could actually happen. We have another one. Question, is there any plan to expand the hauling mailing list to a more managed service with a partial chance of insurance for freighters like in Red Frog?
I guess I get that. There's no current plans for it, but that is an interesting idea. The problem with it, well, it's not really a problem, but the issue with it is that the service is hardly ever used. Well, unless you count the very, very recent and very massive influx of contracts from basically one single person. For, was it almost 2 months now before that? It was almost never used. So it's really tough to justify putting a lot of time and effort and, you know, putting in place an even more involved program for something that's just used so infrequently. But if activity picks up on it, then yeah, that might be something that we'll take a look at.
It was something we explored the possibility of in the past, link incoming to chat, but it just never had enough use to kick off. And when we looked at it, or when I looked at it at that, when I was in that job years ago, The reason I wanted it was to help new people move their things for a drastically subsidized price, which really makes it hard to raise enough money for, you know, an insurance program when you're probably doing it as a charity for other people. All right. Looks like the next question is, is there any possibility that the Uni headquarters will ever be relocated? I do have to say there is a possibility. The chances went up drastically once I was no longer director of logistics. But there are a lot of criteria that do have to be filled to justify moving it. Primarily, we have to find some new location that will generate a lot more gameplay and a lot more benefit for our students to make it worthwhile. It is a significant hassle to move everything, not only because of everything we have in place, but also just getting everybody to move and start trying to get a new culture built around a new position in space. It needs to be a place where it has decent access to different types of space, a decent spread of missions for both new and old players around it, near a trade hub but not directly on a pipe. It has to have a school system so there's readily accessible skill books. I know there were other criteria we looked at when we moved to Aldrat, but those are the ones that come to the top of my head. I doubt we would move to Korsiki. There's no legitimate reason to move there. It doesn't really promote synergy between the different parts of the corporation. If we did move, it would probably be to a more central location closer to the LSC-NSC. The next question, will the title's full page ever be fixed? For returning Unistas, the process seems to be more broken. Does somebody here want to take this, or should I? Looks like it's me.
Did we lose Erdolf?
He never made it.
Oh, I thought he did. Okay, yeah, looks like it's you, S.
The tool is a work in progress. Though you can't see it from your side, the new version of the tool has cleared up quite a few significant issues that were on the university side of the tool that were really impeding people's ability to get work done. Now that that framework is in place and running, patches are going in to try to fix the issues and the nice little things that are coming up, but it is going to take a little bit of time. There's only a few limited number of people that we that have access to the direct server to change things, just because if we give them that access, they have access to the entire database of, you know, every uni member known to man and all of your information, which is not something we are very trusting to give out. We would prefer to avoid the issues that, you know, Brave had, for instance, is the last one I can think of. So, short answer is yes, it will be fixed, but you will have to be patient. The focus has been on recruitment up until now because that is the part that, you know, was of the most vital importance to get fixed. We have another question. How long does it take for classes to be updated to the class library? I try to sit on classes when I can, but I miss out on quite a few. I'll scroll through the class library later on, but it feels like classes are not being recorded or the recordings are not making it to the library. Does somebody want to take this one?
Yeah, sure, I can take this one. Essentially, while we do have a class library curator, we'll periodically go through the recorded classes thread in the scheduled classes subform and try to add as many classes as possible, especially ones that don't have a recording. Note that uploading a class recording while making sure it lives up to uni wiki standards, like making sure that the audio isn't completely botched, takes quite a while because you actually need to listen to the thing. And he does this as a volunteer, and we haven't found any ways to chain him to a chair yet. So, yeah. One good way to find out if the class was recorded at all is there is a recorded thread in the... hold on, let me find a link for this. There is a recorded classes thread. There we go.
in the classes subforum, where most recorded classes will appear sooner or later. Obviously, there's always the possibility that there's simply nobody recording the class question. That's a bad thing, but can't always be helped, especially if the teacher forgets to ask for it. Many people don't remember doing it, or remember to do it. But, yeah, if you can always see if you can find the class in the recorded classes thread, with the obvious disclaimer that the recording's quality might not be optimal, and if you've got too much free time, you can feel free to add any class to the library if the recording's decent. We're not opposed to students simply adding classes to the library, assuming they don't completely break everything. I know this is somewhat unsatisfactory as an answer, but adding recorded classes is simply an enormous time investment for the person doing it.
All right, the next question. What is the ILN used for? The ILN is primarily a think tank of people who have proven themselves in PvP, and specifically PvP leadership. Whenever we have large corporate events or large corporate engagements that are going to take place, they are the people who do all of the planning behind it. For example, when we had the VB war, they were some of the people who worked up on putting in the doctrines and getting that in place. Before that, when we've invaded wormholes, they're the core that provide the leadership and the planning to make that happen.
What Asmo said.
Sorry, didn't see you in here.
No, sorry.
And it looks like we are once again caught up with questions. The next one is, does it take up a lot of personal time to be a manager? I will let somebody else take this to start with, and then I guess I'll chime in.
This is Nev. I'd like to answer this question. The answer is yes. But you can scale it relative to the amount of involvement that you want. One of the great things about the uni is that we have a very hierarchical division of labor, and we have managers and staff that can fill in for others as our individual opportunity to varies. But it does require a certain degree of attention, and some of these positions have more requirements than others. So certainly trying to fill classes every week and making sure that we have events and the mentors are running well does require a significant amount of time for me. So fortunately, I have good people on the staff who do most of the hard work. But yes, it can vary from position to position, and it can be fairly extensive. Anybody else?
Before I became manager, I had about 1,800 kills. Since I've become manager, I've had 400. So first 6 months, 1,800. Second 6 months, 600. So that's the difference.
All right, I'm going to drop a...
No, don't.
I'm dropping a link in class.euni. That's a blog post that I actually did, just kind of summarizing what a day as CEO might be like, a typical day. That's assuming real life doesn't get in the way. Unfortunately, real life became very busy for me like the last week and a half, so I've not been able to put in as much time as I would like. Unfortunately, now it's, you know, cleared up, so I'm back to the uni full time. Next question, what is the status of Operation Fortress? Does somebody want to take this? Okay, I'll take it. The status of Operation Fortress is whatever the students want to make the status of Operation Fortress. It has been and will probably always be a student-led endeavor, just because there's no way that, quote, management can provide around-the-clock leadership of a fleet. So it really depends on students logging in, joining a fleet, joining the appropriate Mumble channel, and being active and kind of getting it to be a continuous thing that they're in for it to be effective.
Okay, I'm back. Can you
get there? Oh, there he is. All right, okay. Go for it, Croy.
No, thank you. Very much, pretty much like what we were talking about in regards to Operation Fortress. The idea is for
our students to go ahead and lead that. So in that respect, we make it as much as we can in that respect. However, it's something based on the student.
All right. I think the next question is for Ellen from Ellen, which is, that's interesting. What plans does the Pulse Manager have?
What's even more interesting about that question is that Ellen, who asked and should answer the question, does not have a mic.
You have to answer to her, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. Anyways, essentially, it's another thing that we are waiting on Cryos to actually find out. Because of the changes that will be made to POS mechanics for the upcoming Cryos expansion, it's going to fundamentally change what we're going to... Well, not fundamentally, but it's going to change a lot of what we currently use the POS for. So, for example, the research program, I guess is what we call it, is not going to be viable anymore, at least in its current incarnation, and we're going to have to come up with an idea of how to be able to keep doing that, if we can at all, with the Cryos expansion because blueprints now have to be in the POS itself. We don't want to go into any details about what we may or may not do after the Cryos expansion because it can change, and second of all, we don't want, you know, all sorts of really fantastic rumors flying around and then later on have to say, no, sorry, we can't do that. But rest assured that we are, well, not currently, but we will be taking a very good look at it, see what we're able to do, what we're able to afford, what we'll be able to manage once we get it up and running, and we'll go from there.
All right. The next one is, okay, why did you become a manager and what keeps you going? So somebody else want to start this one off?
This is Nev. I'll take that. First of all, this is a great, great bunch of people to work with. And if you believe in EVE University's mission, which is to share the knowledge and find ways to have more fun in the game, you can't do it in a better place with a better bunch of folks. So it is fun to be a manager, and it is rewarding to be a manager, and definitely enjoyed the opportunity to contribute back. So if that's the kind of thing that you like, then you can find a lot to do. And basically a very altruistic kind of management style. So if you continue to contribute, you can kind of move up the ranks, and eventually you get in a position where you can actually start to make policy and do lots of fun and creative things. So if you like that, it's not a bad way to spend your time. I don't regret doing it over the several years that I was in the uni, and I would encourage anyone who's interested in giving back to consider doing it as well.
I'll go second. When I first started off in EVE, the first thing I did was look for instructional corporations. So I quickly found EVE University and joined it. But way back in my early days in EVE, I was also under this misguided notion that EVE was like a 99% PvP place to play a game. And so I was in EU Uni and learning as much as I can, but I wanted to try to get as much experience as I can into that little 1% known as industry. And when EU Uni started looking for people to help out with its own internal industry, I just totally jumped on that and got lucky enough to get hired as an officer, which very quickly, actually, became a manager position. So essentially that was my driving idea, was to just learn as much about large corp industry as I could and participate in it as much as I could. And obviously since then I've also learned that, you know, EVE really isn't 99% PvP, and you could do all sorts of different things with industry, anywhere from the solo to the large corp scope. But I just really enjoyed the large corp scope of it and just continued on with it until I finally ended up as director of logistics.
I suppose I should do my one next. It was similar on, really. The diplomacy department, when I originally joined it, was at an all-time low, really. Had low numbers, low staffing, and I got heavily involved. And Ildaf decided that I'd put enough effort in, I got made the manager of it. And that progressed for quite a period of time, doing various reforms and changes, hiring staff. Then at some point, ASMO decided that diplomacy, as well as teaching at that point, deserved more, not independence, but more ability to control itself, really, without having to wait for someone above them to okay something. So I got made director. We've still continued various reforms, such as the recent standings and labelling, which you may have seen in our general discussion forum. And, yeah, it's all rewarding work. It's good fun work. It's probably nice for me, because compared to everyone else here, I have a very small department. It's a department of basically one area. So unlike Turhan, I have one thing to oversee. So it's very easy to be very much more of a, you know, I'm a director, it's very much more of a manager still. I know exactly what's happening every day, because I don't have a million things to keep an eye on. Which is nice for a while. Any managers next?
I think I don't think VT's here, so I can go next. Yeah, I'm Fargo. I run the NullSec camp. Pretty much I became manager because I felt I could improve in areas and help maintain areas within it, and also I was the only man standing, I think, as well at the same time, because nobody else would do it. But yeah, so I kind of introduced different things like doctrines, help maintain the module rebuy program, which helps fund the campus. I've changed the way that works, which gives a better influx of money. Also, I do lots of FCing, which it works quite well being manager and FC, because people listen to you better sometimes. So that's kind of why I became manager, just as a more responsible and to do my own thing and help people do better things.
And I suppose I could go next. I could basically echo everything that Neville and Turhan already said. It's extremely rewarding. And it's also an excellent learning opportunity. Plus, real life kind of interfered. I found that I no longer had time for multi-hour fleets when they happened. But what I did have was an hour here and an hour there. And I decided instead of getting frustrated and leaving, I would rather spend it doing something good for the entire corporation.
And I can definitely echo what David's saying. It's a matter of, you know, time management and really focusing your skills on what you get out of the game. I really like, you know, in real life, I really like facilitating the people I work with and my colleagues and helping them have a good time. Events is just one of the positions that I applied for, but I always picked very carefully what I was interested in, what I felt I could commit to. And, you know, once I got into events, it's like, you know, yeah, this is really what is a natural fit for me. And I love all the hours behind the scenes I spend putting into things. And, you know, I just like seeing people having a good time. I mean, this is a game, and I'm helping people playing a game have even more fun than they would. You know, what could be better than that?
I'm going to echo the sentiment of almost everyone that actually has said it in here. And that's because, you know, almost everybody that is here is in the, you know, the purpose is to actually help other students or other players in the game. And basically the same thing happens with me. There has been some changes that needed to get done. And I wanted to get involved in those changes and to see if those can be facilitated and, you know, to make something a little bit better. And the university gives you the opportunity to be able to do that. So I encourage everyone that if you're interested on supporting and providing help to the university to, you know, go ahead and make that known and follow that through to actually do that.
All right. I will finish up and I guess we'll move on to the next question because this one's been taking a while. I think that I'm in it for a combination of stupidity and being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I started out as a hangar officer. I think I had that job for like an entire month before, you know, I happened to be in the right place and had put some things in place to be a hangar manager. And I think I was in place for that one for 2 months before I got, you know, director of logistics. And then I sat there very quiet and happy for many, many years. That was when I was asked to take over director of operations, and I felt that somebody needed to step up, so I did it. And then the same thing happened at CEO. So in all the times it's been, you know, I've been in place, somebody asked me to do it, and I felt it needed to be done, and I might be able to help out. All right, let's try to catch up with some questions as soon as I find where we were. Here's an interesting one. Question is, neutrality aside, is there ever a possibility of a Sovnol campus? Yes, if we were completely willing, put aside, you know, the fact that we are a neutral training organization, we'd be happy to do that. The only problem is we can't just kind of put those aside. With the current political system in EVE, you're not going to be able to hold on to your space as a neutral entity. You will have to pick some side to ally to, and that is not a position the university is willing to make. We feel that it would cut off areas of space and opportunities for our members that it's not a choice that we're willing to do. It would also mean incredibly drastic changes to, you know, recruitment and all of that to help prevent AWOXing, etc. It's just not workable under the current system. The next one. Will there be a requirement that all directors and managers must have working microphones? No. We had one person who was a manager or director for 5 years, and I never heard their voice. Bear with me as I'm trying to find the next question. Oh, here's one for Nev. What will you do on your final day as a director?
First, I have to go through the process of dropping roles and making sure everything is moved around, et cetera, et cetera. I've also got a backlog of email, make sure that gets transferred. People, in other words, a lot of administrivia, so that'll keep me busy for the rest of the day today.
The next one, is there any limit on how long one can stay in the uni? And if not, is there any thought on making the uni more than just an education corp or possibly even a sister corp? Short answer is no and no. There is no limit on how long you can stay in the uni, and we're not going to be more than just an education corp. We are an education corp. That is what we were founded to do 10 years ago. That is the mission that we've been doing for over a decade. And I don't want to see us change from that core message. Now, inside of that, there's lots of room for people to do different things, to explore various aspects of the game. But I don't ever see us becoming, you know, more focused on, you know, being an end game type corp. I think that might be it for questions.
Thomas
has something that's not a question. And next up, does the uni have a cap fleet? The uni has capitals. I'm sure many players own caps. The last officially owned case-based uni cap fleet got destroyed several years. We have not replaced our case-based fleet. Now, private individuals have brought out various caps all the time, but that's their private cap. There is no corp replacement, etc.
I guess related to that, while we are waiting for the next question, the link that I just did into the class.ene chat channel is what happened to our last official capital fleet.
All right. If I don't see any more questions in the next minute or two, we'll be bringing this to an end. Which Alliance tournaments did Ivy participate in? We've participated in, I want to say, at least three, usually very badly. Very, very badly. I know I was a Logie pilot in one in a fleet comp that was just amazingly, amazingly misthought.
I think three is correct, but I can't remember the exact numbers. But I'm thinking like 6, 8, and 9, or maybe 6, 7, and 9.
I know the people organizing it had me as a solo Bassy with two golems, you know, trying to do energy transfer. It just did not work.
And yeah, what Ellen Einer just typed out kind of gives you an idea of the both the thought process and the mindset of us going into it. Because, you know, we're coming up, anytime we go into an alliance tournament, we know that we're going up against pretty much the best of the best that all the alliances have to offer. And we have no delusions of us being really in that category. We just hope to at least, you know, at least do decently and not embarrass ourselves, but also to have a little bit of fun. But that's also basically why we are not really seriously looking into joining it recently, is just because, you know, it's a major investment in both time and disk, but especially time, if we want to do, you know, if we want to be non-embarrassing. So yeah, that's pretty much, for those of you who are probably wondering why, that's pretty much why that we don't seriously look into joining the Alliance tournament these days. But yeah, as Ellen Einer stated, I still remember TB asking me if they could drop a TCU during the match. During one of our most recent matches, essentially, we weren't in the zone. We weren't thinking, okay, let's go kill these guys. We were thinking, you know what would be funny is if we try to claim the system right in the middle of the match.
And the reality of the tournament now is that to be competitive, you need probably 15 to 20 minimum highly skilled pilots for your main team to ensure that you have enough people for every match over the entire length of the tournament. Then you need the exact same number of people to be the practice team against them. They need to put in, you know, hours and hours per week for multiple weeks of practice on Sissy, and then the theory crafting for all the different comps, and then they need to have a bankroll of anywhere from 30 to 100 plus billion to cover the ships for all of the rounds of the tournament.
Can we not just do what we always do, Uni? Try and come out is positive. To kill one ship, the most expensive thing. Lead the field.
They also changed it to the auction to get in, which we didn't really want to throw ISK away. Sadly, if we'd done it with the minimum bid this year, we would have been in, which is also a statement on how everybody else in EVE is starting to view the tournament. We have another question. Can we please deck RVB? I'm sure there will be another RVB war at some point. It's only been a couple of months. But give it some time. There will be another one. Usually they deck us. They are richer than we are.
Yeah, RVB Wars have been almost an annual event for the last 3 years now, so there's no reason to believe that it will not, that it'll stop being such. Oh, yes, and as Lilira stated, we did have a fight against them. I mean, not an entire war, obviously, but we did have a fight against them, so it's not that you have to wait an entire year before you can fight them. Keep an eye out for those kinds of events as well.
Yeah, those are fun events, and, you know, definitely, if you want to actually promote that, definitely go to those.
All right, I'm seeing an end to legitimate questions. I'll give it another 30 seconds. And it looks like that seems to be the extent of the serious questions. Thanks for everybody showing up. Thanks for all of the managers and directors giving their time to do this, and for all of the students who came and were a little curious. Have a great morning, evening, day, whatever it is where you are.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.